Okay, how is everybody?
I think, yeah, you're all doing good. Yeah.
You're all doing good. Yeah. So then why did you come to the soul session? No problems, huh? What countries are Sunny?
I think it's people from Singapore, Malaysia, US, Switzerland.
Okay.
Yeah, and Brunei.
I hope Brunei is coming soon to Thailand, yeah? Once a visa goes through, yeah. So a lot of rain in Singapore?
Yes. Now it's like raining almost every day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very, very heavy rain.
And storm tornadoes? No?
No.
you're the same as Thailand. And we have very heavy rain, yeah. I mean, yeah, pretty much every day raining.
What's the weather today in Thailand?
Today it was raining? Yeah, it was raining, yeah, but not very much, but not very heavy, yeah. It's all cloudy, yeah. It's nice, it's beautiful. It's not hot. Lots of mosquitoes. I mean, in the 5 years or 6 years I'm here, I've never seen so many mosquitoes. Yeah? You're just some way, you know, being close to a tree, you know, and in, within 5 minutes you have 20 mosquitoes somewhere around your arm. But anyway, so that's life.
Yeah, I think there's someone from Israel, I said.
What?
There's someone from Israel.
Oh,
yeah.
Are there somewhere from Europe? Are there some from Europe? No.
Yeah, there's Kenneth from Switzerland.
Huh? German?
Switzerland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And about how many people are there? They take
part? Nowadays, about 19 people.
19. Not much interest. Is somebody working down there, or is it?
No,
there?
It's our
squirrels, you know, running on the roof. Yeah. Just like when Nungta Mahapur gave a talk in the evening, I remember, what was it? Yeah, it was also the squirrels. There was a fence before the Buddha Rupa, you know, and that made a rattling noise that was amazing. It's their highway, so they run. Unobstructed, yeah. In the trees, they cannot run so fast. So they need a highway.
Ajahn, I think your video is off.
My video is off?
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not good. Where's my video? I'm sitting here.
Yeah, now we can't see you, Ajahn.
Yeah, well, I tested it for 5 minutes, that isn't...
Huh?
I tested it for 5 minutes, I didn't test it for 20 minutes. this
yeah,
works.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yes.
Oh. Mm.
Okay, yeah. Now it's... Now yeah. I can see you.
Now you can see me? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see if this happens again.
Now let me just remind everyone, you know, we are here, yeah, to practice, and we practice on our own. We are not concerned, you know, what the other people are doing. Last talk, you know, maybe some of you saw the last talk, yeah. We are not stuck in puberty where we play games, yeah? But the men also, you know, I mean, there's a hostility, there's animosity, you know, I mean, why? This is, I don't understand that, huh? I mean, is this really this Western attitude, yeah? Where we need, you know, if somebody climbs up, we need to pull him down, yeah? Because I didn't, you know, of course, you know, in Bhantat there was hostility, you know, not hostility, animosity, yeah? But what I liked about the Asian, yeah, or the Thai approach, yeah? If somebody was fasting, you know, the others were cheering him on, huh? And here, if somebody is fasting, everybody wants to, he's fasting, he's, you know, giving me more work, yeah? That is not the way that is, huh? And if somebody, you know, is good in his practice, the Thai monks were cheering him on, yeah? Not trying to pull him down or, you know, to try to stab him in the back, yeah? I mean, we are here practicing, yeah? We are practicing, you know, to find a way out of dukkha, yeah? And this path is the path, you know, for everyone on its own, yeah? And we are not concerned of what the other person is doing, yeah? I really loved, you know, I mean, in Bhantat, you know, sometimes there were, from 40 monks, there were only 10 monks or 12 monks eating, yeah? And they still, you know, these 12 monks still did the kovat, you know, did sweeping, you know, was cleaning the sala, you know, and nobody ever complained, yeah? Here, you know, one person is, you know, one person is fasting and, you know, people are complaining, yeah? And in this respect, the men are not much better than the women, yeah? And the women have so little to do, you know? I mean, maybe you have too much time, you know, to complain and look at what other people are doing, huh? Maybe we should give you some more work, you know, that you... Understand that, you know, I mean, we compete, yeah? We don't compete with others, yeah? I know it is Western attitude, yeah? To be the best, yeah? Huh? And, you know, and pushing down the others who are below us, yeah? No. Huh? The Thai attitude is, you know, to cheer people up, you know, who see, you know, oh, he's good. Oh man, did you see how long he's fasting? 21 days. Wow. Yeah? And here, yeah? That is not the proper attitude, yeah? I mean, we should spur people on who are practicing, yeah? If you see it, you know, and then if you see that he's good, you know, maybe he can lift us up, maybe, you know, he can lift us up in telling, oh, yeah, if he can do it, maybe we can do it as well, yeah? That is lifting up, yeah? Oh, no, he's better than me, I don't like this, that he's better than me, let him pull down, yeah? No. This is not the right attitude, yeah? We have to forget about our Western upbringing, you know, when we come here to Thailand, yeah? That's why I think, you know, it doesn't work, you know, to have a monastery in the West, yeah? Because the Western attitude is the same, yeah? And there's nobody, you know, who gives us an example. Hmm? Nobody who has been raised, you know, in Thailand, you know, who gives us an example. And I really loved it about Bhantat, yeah? I mean, no matter if it were lay people, no matter if it, you know, if it were the monks, yeah? I mean, they were cheering people up, you know, who were good in their practice, yeah? Or love to practice, yeah? Oh, look at him, you know, he doesn't even come down to Pranay, you know? I mean, that is something, you know, that is recommendable, yeah? He doesn't like to talk, you know, that's fine, you know, that's perfect, yeah? I mean, nobody, but here there's animosity, you know, oh, he doesn't fit into the group, he doesn't want to be something special, That is not the proper attitude, yeah? Please remind him, yeah? Please remind yourself of this, yeah? We are here to practice, you know, and practice is, you know, to fight the kilesas, yeah? And the kilesas are in our own heart, not in other people, yeah? We don't have to fight other people's kilesas, that's too much, yeah? We have to fight our own kilesas, you know, and don't you ever recognize in our karma? Yeah? Whatever we do unto other people, other people will do unto us. Then before you do something, yeah? Before you throw your hostility or animosity at somebody else, yeah? Do you like, ask yourself, do you like if somebody else does this to you? Yeah? And if you don't like that, yeah? If you like it, okay, go ahead. Yeah? Nobody likes that. Yeah? But we don't ask ourselves, yeah? Because we are angry inside and the anger is inside us. Yeah? And we have to cope with this anger. Yeah? I mean, anger can be a very, very useful tool, you know, if we direct it towards the kilesas. Yeah? Who create this anger? Yeah? Who are dissatisfied? And when we are dissatisfied, we are looking for the reason. And we are looking always out for the reason, you know, why we are dissatisfied. And that is wrong. Yeah? It lets us fall us into the illusion that something else creates our dissatisfaction. No, the dissatisfaction comes from our own heart, yeah? We are dissatisfied with our practice, we are dissatisfied with this or that, yeah? And it has nothing whatsoever to do, yeah, with the outside, yeah? With the outside world and with the outside people. Let's remind ourselves of this, please, yeah? And everybody strives for himself, yeah? And be compassionate. Huh? I mean, huh? It is a nice feeling, you know, if you cheer somebody on. Huh? It is good feeling. It is a nice feeling if you cheer somebody on. Yeah? If you want to pull somebody down, you know, it's a bad feeling. Yeah? We just don't want that somebody else is better than us, you know. I mean, this is really pretty much Western education, yeah? From the first days of school, yeah. Look at him, teacher, look at him, yeah. He's doing something, you know. Huh? We would like to do it, but you know he's doing it. Huh? No. Please, yeah, refrain from this kind of attitude, yeah. And direct the animosity or hostility you have, you know, towards your own kilesas, please, yeah. Okay, that's all. Yeah, I mean, I probably will go on to this topic for a few more times. Yeah, until it really sinks in. But for now, it is enough. Yeah, I hope you understand. Yeah, and it also holds true for the men. Yeah, when I talk about women and men, I talk about, you know, I mean the people that I know, be it in Western monasteries, you know, or Asian monasteries. Yeah, not everybody in general. Yeah. I'm talking here about specifically about the training places. Yeah. So, okay, now
I have to change the camera. There seems to be
now you lost my pic. No,
I just turned it on again. There seems to be a standby mode with this one.
So
I'll just quickly change it.
Okay, you got it. Huh? Sani, you got the message, huh?
Yes, we could hear you throughout just now.
You could hear me throughout, yeah? I mean, the same thing holds true in our working place, yeah, when we do. Okay, so. But now I don't hear anything.
Good timing.
Yeah? Yeah.
You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, I can hear you. So, I mean, now you can ask the questions, yeah?
Yeah, so anyone with questions, you can raise your hand in Zoom. Then, or if you like, you can just unmute and ask the question. John, you want to go ahead?
Okay, hello, Bhante. I hope you're well. You know, I feel sad that the people in the monastery don't appreciate or seem to appreciate what they have being there together. Because if they lived alone, like I do and many of us who practice live alone, we're isolated from monasteries and fellow meditators. We're doing this by ourselves. It's challenging. I would love to be have the opportunity to be there.
It's more challenging. I mean, you don't even know, you know. I mean, how challenging a life, you know, how challenging a life in a monastery can be. I mean, when you're with yourself, you know, it is challenging enough, yeah. I mean, if you live in a cave, you know, it is challenging enough, yeah. But if you live in a monastery with people together, a community, yeah. I mean, then other problems, you know, that you have not seen. I mean, if you have not raised up to a level, you know, of high development in your practice, where lots of anger and lots of greed have disappeared. I mean, you will experience the problems there, and you know, even in Bantat there were problems, you know, between, you know, animosity. You know, there were three different groups of monks, and they didn't like each other. I mean, in the beginning, I was, you know, I'm a very naive person, you know. I believe if somebody tells me something, yeah. So I mean, yeah, I was within a group, you know, and they told me, you know, to go to this person, you know, tell him, you know, not to do this or not to do that, you know. And then I got, you know, and then I went to this person, you know, and he attacked me, yeah. He attacked the messenger, not the message, yeah. So I mean, it does happen, yeah. I mean, wherever people are living together, there are difficulties, yeah. And these difficulties, if we live alone, you know, are completely by ourselves, these difficulties will not appear, yeah? But they will appear the moment we live in a monastery, yeah? And there are more problems, yeah, from my perspective, with women than with men, yeah?
Oh, I don't know. That doesn't sound fair.
Women have a special, you know, I mean, when I was in Bantat, you know, there were about 5,000 or sometimes, you know, 10,000 chickens, yeah. The hens, I just observed the hens and the cocks, yeah. And then I saw, wow, that's not much different from human life, yeah. Yeah? The female, how the female, you know, triggered the male, how the male, you know, tried to persuade the female. You learn a lot from animal behavior, because we have
women been. Women express their feelings more, express their emotions more. Maybe
okay.
That's why.
So what is your question?
Well, besides being challenged living alone, I'm not finding a lot of joy in my meditation. And I meditate, I get up every morning, I meditate for 4 hours, and then, and I'm very focused the rest of the day, and I have all the time in the world. I have no responsibilities. There's nobody I have to do anything or go anywhere. Mm. I can be practicing all day long, but my discipline is not that great after my four-hour session. The rest of the day, I might do another couple of hours of sitting. I usually listen to a Dhamma talk or one or two. Might read something, but a lot of times I'm just unfocused. I eat too much. I'm around the house, and it's just I go and eat to distract myself. But I don't know if you can give me any suggestion or encouragement how to. I mean, I'm so lucky to have this situation where I don't have to do anything but practice.
Yeah.
But the world is distracting, even inside my head and inside my house.
Yes. And there's no encouragement. And that is the advantage of being in a community where you can see the encouragement of other people practicing, and that helps you to practice, you know, and not to do things, you know, that are pretty much useless.
Yeah,
what I would suggest is, you know, cut down in the morning, you know, make it split, not sitting 4 hours in one row, yeah. Maybe sit 1 hour, then walk 1 hour, then sit 1 hour, and be more focused on the sati, on the awareness, yeah? Don't drift off, yeah? Because sometimes we like to sit, and we can sit for 4 hours, but we have no awareness. We have very little awareness, you know, once we are with the Buddha, or once we are with the breath, I mean, it, It flows, you know, it seems that we are constantly with the breath, but in the back of our mind there's a lot of thinking, a lot of activities going on. And this we have to quiet down. Yeah? So if you make it in the beginning a little bit shorter, yeah, 1 hour, but really, you know, really being aware, I don't know what you use, the Buddha or the breath, really being aware of each Buddha or really being aware of each breath, yeah, that is, yeah, and knowing the breath is long, knowing that the breath is short, or knowing that the Buddha is fast, knowing that the Buddha is slow, whatever you do, yeah, this, establishing this knowingness, because that is nothing else than sati, yeah. And then, before you get up, be aware that you get up and be aware why you get up. Yeah? Huh? And then before you do anything, yeah, in the house or go around, you know, I mean, be aware of what is the feeling. Yeah? What kind of feeling is there in the heart? Huh? What that drives you to do something. Yeah? That drives you to talk or go to the fridge or do this or do that. Yeah? Because there's a feeling of discontent. Yeah? So you see the feeling of discontent and say, ah, the first noble truth, dukkha. Yeah? And then reflect upon, if I'm going to do that, will it relieve me of the dukkha? And the answer is pretty much obvious, yeah. Right. It will not relieve me of the dukkha, but it will distract me from the dukkha that I have, yeah. So, I mean, this kind of clearness, or clear awareness, that is what you have to develop, yeah. And then you will also see the joy. You won't see the joy, you know, I mean, if you just calm, yeah. If the mind is just calm and the activities are still going on in the background, yeah, and you're not aware of it, yeah. But the joy or the happiness or the peacefulness, yeah? And the peacefulness can, yeah, it is, they are all nice feelings, yeah? Will come, you know, the moment the mind engine stops, yeah? Okay?
Okay, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, next question.
Anyone else? Like to ask?
You have a question? Where is that coming from, huh? This movement?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the citta, huh? Restlessness, yeah? That's what makes us move, huh? Okay, so next question.
Yeah. Who wants to ask the next question? Yeah. Can I mute yourself? Okay. Annabelle, you want to go ahead? Yeah. Yeah, stay on mute.
I don't hear. You have to unmute yourself. I can't hear anything.
Maybe you can change the mic source. Maybe
it's the kind, yeah, we can hear. Seems to
be the microphone of the laptop. I think so, yeah. Because she's
yeah. Hmm? The mic icon, you can select a microphone. Yeah. You can select a different microphone.
She can also type out the question if she wants.
Or she can type out the question, you know, if she wants, yeah. In the chat.
No.
I hear something, you know, but yeah. She's very far away from the microphone. Have a race.
Okay, yeah, I think she just broke up. Anyone else want to go first? Bingo? Yeah, go ahead.
So recently I've been starting a practice on Masuba and the feelings of fear and disgust. Fear generally has been a little troubling, whereas disgust is still okay. But I think my mindfulness is still strong. But it's just when the fear comes up, it's a little difficult to carry on.
It's very difficult for me to understand the question.
Fear coming up when he does a super practice. Fear and disgust. But the disgust is kind of easy to deal with, but the fear is a problem.
What kind of fear? When does the fear come up?
It's just a sense of terror, like fear of death or a fear of being useless.
Ah.
Like it could be me, but a sense that I could be like that.
No, I mean that it can be quite normal. If you do a super practice, that the fear of death comes up, you know, I wouldn't say terror, but you know, I mean, the fear of seeing something that we always consider to be beautiful as being disgusting. Yeah. So, how to deal with fear of death? Yeah, I mean, use it outside of the super practice, yeah? I mean, think about death, yeah? I mean, contemplate death, yeah? I mean, whatever has been born will die, yeah? So we sooner or later we will die, yeah? I mean, you have parents or you have grandparents, you know? You have friends who have died in an accident or something like that, yeah? So this is common, yeah? If we are really Buddhist, yeah? I mean, we know that, you know, death itself, yeah? I mean, it's just the pain of death that we are afraid of, yeah? But some people are afraid of the unknown, what comes beyond death, yeah? So contemplate that, yeah? Contemplate, you know, death at itself, you know, it is the pain of death, yeah? And the unknown, what is going to happen, you know, after our death, yeah? What is going to happen when we are Buddhist, you know, we can trust the Lord Buddha, you know, in saying, you know, when we die, you know, we will reappear, you know, in one of the 31 realms of existence, yeah? So, I mean, that can be the ghost realm, that can be the animal realm, that can be the hell realm, yeah? Or it can be the heavenly, yeah, 25 heavenly realms, yeah? What I found most interesting is, you know, people who are older, you're still young, who are older and start, you know, to be afraid of death, yeah? It is people, you know, who did some bad things in their life, you know, and the citta already knows where they are going, yeah? That they are going to hell, yeah? So they are afraid of going to hell, you know, but there's hardly anything that can prevent them from not going to hell, yeah? Because people who are really good in nature, I don't see anybody who is afraid of death, yeah? Because they know they will go up to heaven, yeah? So, I mean, you contemplate it. I don't know you, you know? Contemplate, yeah? But also contemplate your life, you know? How much good have you done? How much bad have you done? And you still have lots of time, you know, to do lots of good, yeah? So do more and more good, you know? And then, then the water, you know, I compare it, you know, then the water that you have to drink is not as salty, yeah? I mean, the salt is the bad things, yeah? If you have only little water, you know, and lots of salt, you know, it is very unpleasant to drink it. But if you do a lot of good, you know, you will pour a lot of water, yeah? And then, you know, and then it is manageable, yeah? You understand that, yeah? But the asupa itself, you know, the disgust that comes up, you know, and there is anger coming up, yeah? When we really see the things as they are, then anger is coming up. So take this anger and direct it towards the kilesas who produces anger. Yeah? Don't let the anger out on other people. Don't let the anger out on other things. Yeah? Take the anger, you know, say, see, you know, you know the feeling. Yeah? There's anger. Yeah? or you know the feeling, there's fear. Yeah? Then go into the fear, or go into the anger, and once you understand the feeling of anger, direct it towards the one who produces this anger. I mean, there must be a reason behind it, yeah? And you might be able to find it. The best way, you know, how to investigate these kind of feeling is investigating pain, yeah? When you sit for long hours, yeah, then the pain is coming. When you can bear the pain, when you can investigate pain, yeah, when you are a little bit proficient, you know, in investigating pain, then you can investigate these more difficult feelings like fear or like, you know, anger. Yeah, you understand that?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things that you can do, yeah, that you can play around. Go through your life, you know, go through every year of your life, you know, and go through your good deeds or bad deeds, you know, and whatever you have done, yeah. Contemplate death, you know, because everything, you know, everything that arises, all your feelings that arises have passed away, yeah? I mean, all your thoughts that have arisen, you know, have passed away. All your memories that have arisen passed away, yeah? And the body, you know, I mean, you see the body from the small child, you know, from a baby, you know, that is just born, you know. I mean, it constantly changes, huh? It constantly changes its form, yeah. I mean, for a few years, you know, maybe for 10 years, you know, it stays, you know, similar, yeah. But then it gets old, you know, once it gets old, it breaks apart, you know, it starts to fall apart until, yeah, I mean, just like with a car, yeah. I mean, when it is new, it drives well, you know, when it gets older, it has to go to the repair shop very often, yeah? And so is it with older people, yeah? The older they get, the more often they have to go to see the doctor, you know, to get this alignment or that, yeah? That medicine, yeah? You understand? Yeah, I contemplate death, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know, we should actually contemplate death every day, yeah? Because it can come any time. We don't know when it comes. Okay?
Next, Eric, you want to unmute yourself?
Mm. Yeah, what's up?
I wish one day good health, happiness, and everything well.
Okay, thank you.
I want to relate some experience regarding fear. Sometimes when I listen to Bhante's talk on the internet, and so the more I listen to Bhante's talk, the sometimes the more the sad I feel, depressed I feel, because I realize that the world, there's no salvation, and everything is dukkha, and everything will end in dukkha, and the only way is to get out, and that the thought of getting out is also a very long path. So with that, it makes me struggle. I mean, depressed because the you see ahead at such a massive work you have to do to get out. So I feel depressed, and sometimes I cannot take it. So I just turn off the audio for a while. And and the other thing is sometimes I get a anxiety attack for even small experience. For example, if I cannot sleep, and then I start to get worried. What if I cannot sleep until 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m.? What if I can't sleep for tomorrow? My health will decline and decline. I mean, that short of brief period of anxiety is about last for about a few seconds, and that I cannot really describe, but it's a very suffering feeling, in the sense that you feel that there's no hope, and I feel that there's no hope, and then you just want to get out of that. So sometimes I just go downstairs and talk to people, or just take a walk, just to distract my mind from this thoughts. Because it really drives you crazy. It drives me crazy if I, you know, this kind of
feel like claustrophobic, extreme claustrophobia, that there's no hope, and that can happen for a brief moment, then, you know, so I find that is a very scary feeling. For example, also another example, let's say if I'm going time to go to the toilet, and then suddenly there's nothing coming out, and then I start to worry, oh, what if I get more and more bloated, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, you know, that kind of thing. So that kind of extreme anxiety. Yeah.
First of all, yeah, I mean, there are quite a few questions. The first thing is, of course, you know, I encourage people to get out of dukkha. Yeah? But you don't have to be depressed. Yeah? There is a way. Yeah, if you arrange your life in a way that you only do good, yeah, you'll be helpful to other people, you support other people, huh? And you do good, yeah? I mean, then you will go up to heaven. I mean, it's much nicer than the human life, eh? Yeah? And then you come down, you know, come down as a human being, and then you do good again, yeah? So, I mean, this is not as depressing as, you know, like most of the people, like the Lord Buddha said, yeah? I mean, how many people are going to hell? How many people are going to heaven, yeah? I mean, it's millions of people who go to hell, yeah? Because they do a lot of bad things, yeah? They're cheating other people, you know, they're deceiving other people, they take what is not given, you know, I mean, they harm other people, yeah? I mean, these are all things that lead to hell, yeah? Or they lie, you know, or they take alcohol and drugs, yeah? Or sexual misconduct. These are all things that pull us down, yeah? So if we keep the five precepts, the thing that we can expect, you know, from our next life is that we are at least born as a human being. And if we do a lot of good, you know, we can go to heaven. But all these things are not lasting. That is my intention when I give the talk, yeah? I mean, I sometimes phrase it like that, yeah? I mean, we've done in our life good karma, we've done in our life bad karma. So, I mean, I ask the people, yeah, do you want to go first to hell and then go up to heaven, or do you want to go up to heaven and then go to hell? Yeah? Because this is the cycle that normal people go through, yeah? we do bad things, yeah? I mean, there's hardly any living being on the human plane who just does good, yeah? Because anger flares up and then we do something bad, yeah? Or greed flares up and we do something bad, yeah? So, I mean, if you try, you know, then there's nothing depressing. If you try, you know, to be good as you can, yeah? I mean, there's nothing depressing, but you will still have dukkha, yeah? You understand this? The other thing is, you have to sit and practice, yeah? Either the Buddha meditation or Anapanasati. And in the moment, you know, you sit in the toilet, you know, or you sit on the toilet or you can't sleep. I mean, instead of worrying about these things, you replace the thoughts. And that's what you learn in meditation. You replace these thoughts with Buddha or with the attention on the breath. And the moment the thought is gone, then there is no more fear. Yeah? Then the thought comes back in, and then you replace it again with the Buddha. Yeah? And I can promise you, you know, I mean, if you just sit up in your bed, you know, and do Anapanasati or Buddha, within 5 minutes you are asleep. But you have to practice it. Yeah? You have to practice this replacing one thought with another thought. Yeah, or you replace the thought, you know, with the attention on the breath. You have to practice this. It doesn't come naturally. Yeah? Just like walking doesn't come naturally. We have to practice it for 1 year before we can to walk. Yeah? But once you can do it, yeah, I mean, you can use in any kind of situation where fear creeps up. Yeah, fear comes through thoughts or memories. Yeah, if you replace these thoughts and memories, the fear is gone. Yeah? The same thing, you know, I mean, the person before, you know, I mean, if he does a supa, I mean, the moment he does a supa practice or looks at the disgusting nature of the body, I mean, he doesn't have any sexual craving for that moment, yeah? It's all tied to it's all tied, yeah? I mean, sometimes it's tied to feelings, but most of the time it's tied to thoughts and memories, yeah? So if you replace these thoughts and memories, you know, with other, with good thoughts or good memories, you know, I mean, the thing doesn't, cannot exist, yeah? This is something that is something really important for us to know, yeah? We do that, actually, we do that all our life, yeah? I mean, you go through the street, you're from Malaysia, or?
Yes.
You go through the streets and you see something that you don't like to see, you put instantly, you know, I mean, you look the other way, don't you?
Yes.
Huh? So why can't you do it with your thoughts, huh, and memories? Look the other way, and then you don't see it, huh? We do it as human beings all the time, yeah? And now we just have to change it, you know, to the mind, you know? When the mind looks at things that, you know, make him afraid, you know, or make him fearful, or make him worry, yeah? I mean, we just replace the thought, you know, with another thought that makes us happy. Huh? Okay? Understood? But you have to practice that. It doesn't come naturally.
Understood. Yeah, I just have one more follow-up question.
Yeah.
Last month when I asked Manti about the author David Icke, the book. So ever since then I have gone through the book, the audio book, and what he's saying is that the world, our world is a simulation. The whole is a simulation. And even after we die, we go to the spirit world. That spirit world is also a simulation. But there exists a outer world, which is the real world. Do we have to be savvy enough to see through? So, for example, he said, if we die, and we will meet our old relatives who come and greet us, he said that is a trick. We should not go to find them, because that is a not the real old relative, it's a simulation, and we have to look further until we decide. Because if we go and find our old relative, then we will be redirected into a waiting room, and the waiting room will bring us back to this cycle, back to birth and go through the cycle suffering again. So is to trick us back into the simulation again. So I would like to hear Bhante's opinion on that.
I mean, in some points he's right, in some points he's completely wrong, yeah? I mean, I refer to the Lord Buddha. There are 31 realms of existence there. When you die, you will go into another realm of existence unless you make the, you know, the way out. And the first step in the way out is Sotapanna or stream enterer, yeah? And there is no other way, yeah? There is no other way than to enter the stream, yeah? And once you enter the stream, the next thing is, you know, you attain, you know, Sakadagami, you know, a person with half of the greed and half of the hate, yeah? And then you turn to Anagami, you know, a person who is not reborn in any of these realms, you know, of existence. There are five special realms for the Anagami where he goes through the last five fetters, yeah? And then he's in Nibbana, and that is reality. Nibbana, there's the future and the past, you know, at the same time. It is eternity, yeah? And there is nothing that exists there. Yeah? If you want to know what it is, you know, I mean, you can go into deep samadhi, and then you can at least have a preview of Nibbana, yeah? And I can guarantee you, if you go there, you don't want to come back, yeah? I mean, yes. And what he's right is about, you know, of course, yes, it's all an illusion, yeah? But the illusion seems to be so real that we are stuck into this illusion, yeah? Just like, you know, when you play a video game, it seems so real for the beginning, you know? I mean, you're stuck in this video game, yeah? And you fight your way through this video game, yeah? Yeah? At that time when you play, it doesn't seem to be that illusion, you know? It seems to be real, yeah? And that's the same thing that we are stuck, yeah? So he's right about, you know, being in an illusion. But he's wrong about, you know, I mean, how to get out. I mean, the Lord Buddha gave us the way how to get out, yeah? Sila, Samadhi, Panya, yeah? Okay?
Okay, sadhu. I wish Bhante well.
Hey, thanks, Eric. I think there's a question from Sajjan. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I think I can.
Yes, yeah. Too bad the technology failed me today. Rajan, I intently listened to your YouTube presentations, and some of them are particularly on sati. But today what I'm going to come from is that I have a teenage daughter, and these four items as a lay practitioner comes to my mind is that scolding, right speech, anger, and sati. And so these are kind of very strongly interconnected. And I'm trying to draw a parallel between you or being scolded by Ajahn Mahabua, or you are scolding your students, as opposed to me as a parent scolding my child. And when I'm seeing these things, I'm trying to kind of see that the right speech, anger, and sati not working, so that anger taking over and right speech is failing. For the child, there is the question of my child, there is the ego kind of rising in. So the functionality, the way I function is quite different from an Arahant teacher, the way he's doing from compassion. But rather than compassion, the teacher feels for his students, student marks is the same as mine. But mine is kind of deluded this thing because it's my child and thinking and all that. But how do I keep this in mind? So the next time when the anger comes out, when I kind of start smoking or something, or really keep kind of hopeless for it because as the best of the person, my child, my ego comes in, and my success and failure as a lay practitioner, this is like a meter by which I can actually check whether my practice is going well or not. But when it comes to your own child doing something wrong, putting a finger in the fire, you're telling not to do it, but they still do it, and how can I still remain indifferent in a Dhamma way and let them learn? So it becomes a very difficult thing. And so I just want to hear your comments. Thank you, Dhanajan, for your question.
It's probably not easy. Because you're attached to your daughter, you think the daughter is your, and you think you can, you can actually manage your daughter. Yeah, but your daughter is a being. Yeah, she might have been, she might have been your mother in a previous life. Yeah, so I mean, there is a connection between it. Yeah? But what you can do is, if there is anger, then wait until the anger is gone and then scold her. Yeah, you should never scold her when you are angry at your daughter. Yeah. She feels that, and she knows that there's something wrong. Yeah? I mean, if you scold her and there's no anger in your voice, do you hear the rain? Okay, that was. Wait until the anger is over, and try to scold her in a way that is comprehensible to her. Yeah, I mean, she has to have the occasion where she did something wrong in her mind, and then you tell her that was not okay how she behaved. Yeah, that's all what I what I can say. I mean, a child feels, if it is unjust, or it feels if it is just. Yeah, there can be some strong words coming out, but there shouldn't be any anger behind it. You understand that? Basic? You're gone, huh?
So, you still
there? They're all gone.
No?
Yeah, we are.
Sajo,
are you there?
No, I'm not there.
It's okay. It's okay. No, no. Let's see. You know, it was just a strong rain coming in. I hope you know it doesn't get worse. No? So, did you understand
the? On the chat. Yeah, you got the answer.
Okay. So the next one.
It's Carlos. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. I can hear you.
Thank you very much for this session, and I hope you are doing well. Thank you. My question is regarding to what you were discussing with Eric, and you told him that when he has like this bad thought, he could try to replace it for a Shravaka.
Yeah.
Hearing from other mantras that when you have like a bad thought coming, then you instead of doing anything, you will just observe it, don't identify with it, and wait until it is like the waves in the sea. So it's kind of like I wonder if those are two approaches specific for different types of personality, or
no.
What would you say?
If you do it the way that you just described it, the bad thought will come again and again and again and again. Yeah? If you replace it with a good thought, you create a different kind of karma, so that the good thought will come again and again and again, and the bad thought will drive, will not come again. Yeah? If you just observe it, if you feel the energy of it, and don't investigate where this kind of thought comes from, but you should not do it if it is not a constant thought that comes every day or every hour or every if it comes once in a while, you just forget it, you replace it with a good thought. Yeah, if it is a thought that is very persistent, then you should investigate it from where it comes. And that means you first accept it, you feel its energy, and then you look what came before this thought. What kind of feeling? And then you look what came before this kind of feeling, until you find the stone, that created this avalanche. That is how you investigate thought. But for most of the thought, I would say 99% of the thought, you just replace them with good thought. And then they don't come again. Because you create a new energy. You create the energy of good thought, And this energy, this karma will come back to you, And then these good thoughts, will turn in, I mean, in the end, we don't need the good thoughts, But what I say, in our practice, I mean, in the beginning, we get rid of the bad kilesas, and change them into good kilesas, And then, only then, when they're all good kilesas, then we can get rid of them. Okay?
You mean all together, like you start to replace bad kilesas with good kilesas, and then eventually you just get rid of
all kilesas.
Oh, okay. I see that. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. And then I want to try again.
Yes. So I think you should hear me now, right?
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for your time. I had a question because I spent the time in Thailand before, and I got taught by a gentle tip to just, don't move another my hand. So first I started off with that. Later, when I got back to the Netherlands, I like to listen to Ajahn Pramod much, and he liked to teach about focusing on the breath. And first it was difficult for me because I tried to control my breath until I keep practicing, and I knew what to do. I just knew about my breath, and mostly because I just focused on when breathing in and when breathing out. So I saw improvement, and later I got stuck because before I sat down I was questioning myself when I focus on the breath. What do I actually focus on when I focus on the breath? because actually I just focus on my thoughts and being with and toe instead of really being with the breath, because it just aligned with the breath together. So when I started to ask myself what is actually the breath, I started to say that I just sense the breath through my nose and through my throat usually, mm-hmm. and just feel hot and the sensation of hot and cold, the sound of breathing, and the movement of my belly going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I noticed. But now I'm, so that was one. And I also got taught by Ajahn Brahmo to see the mind directly. So I can see thinking and memory and the things. I can see them being there and I can see them not being there. I can't see them go up and go down yet, but I can just see them being there and not being there.
Mm.
And I see improvement of not identifying myself with that.
Okay.
But now I have a question, because I get stuck, because I want to see better, but I see my concentration, my sati is not strong enough to really stay with it. Now I get confused because I see everything comes and goes, even the breath, you know, when I see the sensation, it just comes and goes. So how can I stay with an object when everything comes and goes?
There's something that doesn't come and go. That is the knowingness. That is the knowingness of about the breath that doesn't go. You know that the breath goes, you know that the breath comes, yeah? You know that the breath is subtle, you know that the breath is rough, you know that the in-breath is long, you know that the out-breath is short or long, yeah? This is the thing that you have to, because this is the awareness that we are looking for. This is the sati that we are looking for. The concentration and sati are two different things. Eh? I mean, we just focus, yeah, or that means concentrate around the tip of the nose, yeah. And in the beginning of our anapanasati, what Ajahn Brahmo, you know, told you, in the beginning of our anapanasati, both the knowingness, yeah. It's mostly feeling, yeah? Knowing the feeling of the air coming in, knowing the feeling of the air coming out, yeah? I mean, the concentration and sati is at the same point, yeah? But the moment the mind gets calm, the sati drops into the citta where it comes from, yeah? And then you have 2 points. You have the point of concentration, that is your anchor, yeah? I mean, when you live in Holland and you go out with a boat, you need an anchor, otherwise you drift off in this direction or drift off in that direction, yeah? Yeah? So the anchor is this point, yeah, around the nose, yeah? But the knowingness is that what is stable, yeah? Both of these points are stable, yeah? And then once it drifts by itself down there, yeah? So don't make it go down there, yeah? So once your concentration, you know, once your sati, once your awareness becomes more refined, it will automatically, you will see it, you automatically goes down there, yeah? And then sooner or later, you know, if you get more and more refined, you know, I mean, even the point of concentration drops down there and it becomes unity, yeah? But that is a long way, yeah? And that is how you train. The only thing that does not disappear is this knowingness, yeah? Because it's there, it cannot disappear. And that's where we want to go actually into. Yeah? That is called, what is called apanasamadhi. Apanasamadhi is called one-pointedness. Yeah? As long as you're doing samadhi, you have the point. Yeah? You have the object, the subject and the object. The subject, you know, observes the object. Yeah? So the knowingness observes, you know, the breath. Yeah? And so the breath and the, you know, the subject and the object are 2 different points. Yeah? Yeah? And when you merge these 2 points into 1 point, then the only thing that is left is knowingness. Yeah? And it's called knowingness that doesn't know about any object. Yeah? And that is nothing else than the preview of Nibbana. Yeah? But it is a long way. Yeah? I mean, what you need to train now is being much more aware of the breath of every detail. Yeah? Try to focus on, yeah? Try to focus when you do anapanasati, try to focus on when the in-breath begins, when it is at its height, when it is, you know, going down, and then it stops for a moment, and then the out-breath comes. Try to really get this point when it changes from in-breath to out-breath and from out-breath to in-breath, yeah? Interest is what keeps us concentrated. Yeah? If we lose the interest, we are interested about everything else that goes on in our body. Yeah? We are not interested. We are not interested about the belly. We are not interested about anything else. Yeah? We are just interested, you know. No. Yeah? The point when the in-breath changes to the out-breath or the out-breath changes to the in-breath. Yeah? You will never catch it. But, you know, I mean, this focus you really well. Yeah? You understand that? The knowingness is that never disappears. I mean, how else can you know about the belly? How can you know about, you know, all these things that are going on? Does it ever disappear? Huh? Only if you are unconscious, yeah? But then still the knowingness knows about this unconsciousness. Yeah? This is nothing that can disappear. This is the, yeah? It's also, you know, for the Arahant, it's called the pure citta, yeah? There's nothing else than this knowing. Okay?
Thank you.
Anyone else with questions to ask? Ajahn? I guess if not. Ajahn, how's the weather there? Can you proceed?
It's okay. It just went by at the moment. You know, it might come back, yeah. So, I mean, it is okay. So, if you have a few questions, but not too many, it's already quite late. So, if you have a few questions, then read them out, yeah?
Okay. So, I'll start with the first question. In previous talks, it was mentioned that prior to birth, the soul already has a plan or knows what to do. Can Long Po kindly explain in detail what happens during this pre-life planning process? Thank you.
I mean, this pre-life planning process, yeah, I mean, takes place for most people, you know, without being aware of it. Only the person, you know, who is really good, you know, at practicing sati and practicing samadhi, he will see it, yeah? And then he can change. It's the same thing, you know, if you have sati when you're dying, you know, then you can choose the path. Yeah? And then it's the same thing, you know, when you're going to be born again, then you can choose the path. Yeah? If you have no sati, you cannot choose anything. Yeah? The key is always sati. The key is to know what the hell is going on. Yeah? This is always, you should ask yourself, what the hell is going on? Yeah? I mean, every time you do something, every time you think something, every time you open your mouth, what the hell is going on? Why do I want to say this? Why do I want to do this? Yeah? What is the effect of my doing? Yeah? This is the sati, you know, and if you have this kind of sati, yeah, then the pre-planning, you know, I mean, it's actually not pre-planning, you know, it is a choice, you know, between different kinds of karma. Yeah? Next question.
Next question. Can Long Po kindly explain in detail how the soul or citta undergoes judgment after death? What details about this process are most people ignorant of? If they knew, would encourage heedfulness. Thank you.
The citta knows everything. Yeah, I mean, don't talk about soul. Yeah. Now the citta knows everything, yeah? The moment it dies, it knows what it has done, yeah? What it has done bad and what it has done good, yeah? some people describe it, you know, as you be in a judgment hall, you know, and then if you're not aware of it, you know, I mean, the people read out what you have done, you know, and then send you to this kind of hell or that, send you to that kind of hell, yeah? But actually, you know, the decision is made and, you know, you judge yourself, yeah? Because you're the best judge, yeah? That's all what I want to say about this.
Okay. Next question. Dear sir, for a long time I was ignorant about the power of strict physical and mental purity, of strict celibacy. I didn't really know how life-changing it can be and how helpful it is for the spiritual practice. Could you please tell us more about the importance of celibacy in our practice?
Not really. It is important, you know, as you said, you know, I mean, it doesn't lead the energy that we have, yeah. It's the same thing with physical activities. Yeah, if you do some sport, you know, I mean, this is physical activity. I mean, if you do sex, this is physical activity. Yeah? I mean, you waste your energy into doing something that is not really worthwhile. And if you keep the energy and put it into practice, you know, and to fight the kilesas, it is much better. And everybody, you know, who lives a celibate life, you know, knows it, yeah? I mean, all these worries, you know, I mean, most of you probably have a wife, you know, or a husband, you know, or have girlfriend or boyfriend, you know. I mean, all these energy that is drawn in this, drawn away from you, you don't have for practice, yeah? I mean, if you stay clear of it, you know, you have all the time, you know, to practice. And all the energy, there's no energy, you know, going out, yeah? It's called also, in Pali, it's called asava, outflows, yeah? Outflows, you know, sometimes it goes into food, it goes into outside activity, like, you know, the monks starting building projects, you know, building this, building that. It's all asava. Yeah? It's all outflows, you know, where the energy goes out, you know, you don't use the energy to fight the kilesa, yeah? That's the whole idea behind it, yeah? Next
question. My co-worker contemplates suicide. If I tell him about the Buddhist perspective of life and death, it wouldn't help. He wouldn't take me seriously as he doesn't see a reality besides body. Buddhist is fairy tales to him. Is there anything I can do in this case?
Yes, practice yourself and leave other people alone. You have to be the example. Yeah? Then he gets interested in your ideas. Yeah? If you just want to, you know, because you're convinced of something, you read something, you're convinced of something, and you want to convince somebody else, it's futile, yeah? If you live the way, if you live the life, yeah, of a celibate, you know, of the life of a practitioner, people automatically will get interested, yeah, the moment they see the changes, yeah? I mean, I sometimes tell the story, you know, when I started practicing, yeah, I mean, it was really tough, you know, and I looked really haggard, yeah? So, I mean, after one year, I came to see my parents, you know, and my mother said, what are you doing? This is not good for you. Nah? Then I told my mother, you don't know, you don't understand, yeah? And then a year later, you know, I went through most of the bad things, you know, that I've done in my life and all the things that were coming up, you know, and my face was lightening up, yeah? And then I came and see my mother and she asked, what are you doing? Huh? I'm interested. What is this? What is this practice? What is this meditation? What is this all about? Yeah? Yeah? So you have to be the example. Yeah? I mean, even Gandhi, you know, I mean, you know Gandhi, you know, he had to be the example, you know, before he can teach others. Yeah? So you have to be the example. Yeah? Before you can teach others. And others will come by themselves, you know, and ask you what you're doing. Yeah? But if your practice doesn't go anywhere, you know, and everything is in your head, you will not convince anybody. Next question.
There's a question on fear in asubha. I think it was asked just now already, so I'll skip it.
Mm.
Next question. Dear Ajahn, can you explain what is inner eyes?
The inner eyes is actually our sati. That is the inner eyes, knowing of what is going on inside when we close our outer eyes. Yeah? But even with our inner eyes, we can see, yeah? We can see things, you know, when, for instance, we do a asubha practice, yeah? We close our eyes and, yeah? The inner eyes then are, you know, sometimes, you know, it is memory and sometimes it's clear vision, yeah? It is a vision, you know, that we get from our sati, yeah? Sati is not only, you know, sati can be, you know, in pictures, you know, can be knowingness, yeah? It's this knowingness that is our inner eyes, yeah? Sati and panya, is asking the right question. These are the super weapons that we have against the Kilesa. Yeah? Panya is asking the right question. Sati is pointing something down, you know, pinning something down, and then Panya is asking the question, what is it, where is it coming from, what, you know, I mean, how does it feel, and so on. When I do this, you know, what is going to happen? And then Sati will, yeah, then it will appear, you know, in form of us, yeah. So that is also called the inner eye, yeah. Okay, next question.
Next question. What advice can you give when evil thought and jealousy, come to my mind? Will this create bad karma?
Of course it will create bad karma. Yeah, I mean, I talked in the beginning about it, you know. I mean, replace it, and I talked to somebody else, replace that bad thought, you know, the thought, you know, that creates us, yeah, this jealousy, you know, with the God of fear. I mean, may he be happy, yeah. Maybe he free of dukkha, yeah? Maybe he, yeah, and so on, yeah. Replace the bad thought, you know, that lead to jealousy or whatever he said, yeah, and you know, replace him with good thought, yeah. Thoughts of empathy, yeah, thoughts, you know, of metta, thoughts of whatever, you know, you wish him well, you know, may he be happy, may he attain, you know, to Nibbana or whatever you want, yeah. Next question.
This is the last question.
Yeah. Okay.
During meditation, when we do both breathe in, do breathe out, do we focus more on the breathing or the buddho?
That is up to you. Yeah? I mean, you can focus more on the buddho or you can focus more on the breath. Yeah. Huh? That is completely up to you, but whatever is more convenient to you, whatever you can easier focus. Yeah. I mean, but when you have buddho and the breath together, then either, you know, I mean, either you concentrate more on the buddho, then this is the point of reference, or you focus more on the breath, then the nose is your point of reference, okay? That's it, you know, I mean, it's getting late, you know, it's getting dark here, yeah?
Okay, so we'll end the session today. Thank you, Tanajan. So let's all pay respects to Tanajan together. Bow. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ajahn. See you the next session.
Okay. Yeah. And practice well, every one of you, you know. That is the only thing that we can hold on to in our life, yeah. That is the only thing, the moment we start, you know, we close our eyes and observe, you know, we are with the Buddha or we are with the breath. That is the only thing that you can hold on, yeah. And you should do that, yeah. I mean, don't, especially now in this world with all these troubles, you know, with all these wars are going on, yeah. And before it was the pandemic, now it is the war, now the war is becoming bigger, yeah. I mean, go within, yeah. Don't be interested what the rest of the world is doing, yeah. Just like I told my students in the beginning, yeah. Don't be interested what the other person is doing. Don't be interested what the world is doing, yeah. The world, you cannot change the world. You can change only yourself, yeah. You cannot change other practitioners. You can only change yourself, yeah. No matter how, yeah, what you do. Understood? Okay, that's my last words, yeah. Everybody has a good night or good morning, wherever he is.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Ajahn.
The same for you, I mean, you go back, you know, I mean, now it seems to be quiet, you know, you go back to your kuti, yeah, and practice, yeah? My God.
when you say you can't change other people,
huh?
When you say you can't change other people, it's like, thank God, like I can't even change myself. Like,
no, no.
If I had to change everybody else.
That's what people do.
No,
and that's where they go wrong, yeah? Huh? I mean, a nurse, you know, I mean, who is there for the other people, yeah? She only thinks that she is there for the other person, you know, and look, you know, but actually what she wants is, you know, I'm in recognition from the others, yeah? And that's why she burns out, yeah? A nurse who really is there for the other people never burns out, because it's her heart that is with the other people, yeah? We always do for other people to recognize us, yeah? And that's why we are very, very sensible, you know, if somebody, you know, pulls us down, huh? I mean, if we work for ourselves, you know, and somebody says something, you know, we know where we are, we know how much value we have, and we know how much bad we have, yeah? I mean, nobody can really pull us down, you know, or nobody can lift us up, yeah? Because we know ourselves, huh? But if we constantly, you know, try to get recognition from this, you know, from this person or that person, yeah, huh? And in a meditation center, you know, it is from the teacher, and you will try to get recognition from the teacher that he sees us, yeah? Or in maybe in a monastery, you know, I mean, they try to get recognition from Lungta Mahabo, try to be close to him, you know, see how I'm close, yeah? That's not worth a thing, not worth a dime, yeah? Because then people, you know, can use this, you know, to put you down, yeah? If you steady within yourself, you know, I mean, nobody can pull you off, yeah? No, nobody can throw you off your path, yeah? That's the whole idea, yeah? But we are so focused, you know, especially when we come from the West, what this person is thinking about, what that person is thinking about, what that person is thinking about, you know, and then we try to be good to this person that thinks a little bit bad, we try to change ourselves, but we can't change ourselves, you know. I mean, how much effort, how much energy do we put into these things, into this outside image that are really, yeah, illusions, yeah? I mean, it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself, yeah? If I completely know who I am and what I am, you know, of course, you know, there are bad things within me, but if I recognize these bad things that are within me, people cannot attack me with this. Because, you know, yes, I know, yeah? You're an asshole, yes, I know. Yeah. Or you're arrogant, yes, I know, yeah? So, if you know yourself, you know, I mean, nobody can attack you, no, can nobody can pull you down, yeah? Know yourself, yeah? That's a task. Yeah?